Are you under grace but still living like sin is the boss of your life? Let's expose the lie of cheap grace, willful disobedience, and let's examine how Christ sets believers free to become joyful slaves of righteousness in every sphere, whether that be your home, your work, or even in the halls of government. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Hey, I hope you're having a fabulous morning on your drive into work today. It's going to be a crazy day. I think there might be a little bit of snow out there, and it may be a little bit slick and icy. So let's be careful as we go. Hey, I hope you're enjoying these daily devotions. We are in a series called Sin in My Life. And yeah, did you know that? God says there are certain things in our lives that are off limits. He says, no, you can't do them. Why does he say that? He knows they're not best for us. He didn't create us for those things. And so it's not he's a Debbie Downer or something like that. He's a God who knows how we've been created. He knows what his standard is. He knows what holiness is, and we want to walk in those things. So if you're enjoying these daily devotions, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment, and place in that Washington Defender app. And also, if you are a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very, very much. And if you're not, we would really encourage you. Your $5, $10, $15, $20 a month, whatever it might be, really does help us keep material like this coming out each and every single day. And then the other things that we do, like whether it's our prayer tours or our legislative session or whatever it might be, where we begin to help direct and bring a biblical values into the public square. So let's dive into Romans chapter 6, verse 15. I want to encourage you, read the entire chapter of Romans if you have a chance. But we'll read our verses and then we'll kind of walk through them slowly. It says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as a slave for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart, that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now, if you've been following through this chapter 6, you're going to think, didn't we just study this? Paul is emphasizing and re-emphasizing. He's going around the whole issue of sin, and he's hitting all the different angles of it. And so, as we dive in, there are some similarities, but the repetition is good for us. So, shall I sin? Now, the question may be, will I sin? And the answer is, maybe. You have a choice. Sin is willful disobedience to God. Sometimes sin is foolishness. Sometimes sin is out of ignorance. Sometimes we sin out of simply plain, flat-out old rebellion. And so, shall we sin? What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? What's his answers? May it never, ever be. God forbid. Heck no. No way, Jose. However you want to say that. God is saying to us, we shall not sin. In other words, walking in willful disobedience to God and saying, God, I know your standards. I know what you've chosen for me, but I'm going to do it my way. That's not the attitude of a Christ follower. In fact, I would even dare to say you're not even following Christ if that's your attitude. If you think, God, I know better than you, I can do it my own way, you should probably see if you've really repented and turned to the living God, because that is not how we respond as people who follow in Christ's footsteps. That is not the way to the cross. And I get it. We all inadvertently or ignorantly or foolishly sin at times. But willful disobedience for the believer where we just say, God, you know, I don't care what you have to say, I'm doing it anyways. It should not be the normal practice of a Christian. So My next question, shall I sin because I'm not under the law? You say, well, I'm freed from the law, so I can just do whatever I want. Let's see what he says. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? May it never be. Do you see that? Nope. Just because you're not under the law, you don't have a right to sin. Shall I sin because I'm under grace? See, I'm not under the law, but I'm under grace. Same answer. May it never be. We are not to take grace and cheapen it. So much of the church today cheapens grace. It's licentiousness. And that's where we say, well, God will forgive me. Well, God will forgive me. Well, God will forgive me. And if that's you today, repent. Enough is enough. We're changing our hearts so that the public squares change. And cheap grace that says, God will forgive me, God will forgive me, God will forgive me, I'm going to live contrary to God's word intentionally, is the entire problem of our culture. We have all, to some degree, have said, well, it's my way, it's my truth, it's my hope, it's my Bible, it's my Jesus, it's my God, it's my Father, it's my Holy Spirit, and it's not yours. You don't get to decide how you live in the sense of in accordance to your own law and just say, well, God's grace, God is gracious, I get to do this, He'll forgive me. God forgives me. No, you need to stand up, man up, and understand that God has called you and set you apart, and that you are not to say, well, I got grace, so I get to do whatever. So let's see, how do we know if we're living in willful disobedience to God? Who am I presenting myself to? Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience? Look at that. Do you not know? When you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience. So who am I obeying? You're slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness. So we all present ourselves as slaves to obedience of someone. We do. We either do it to sin or we do it to righteousness. So how do I know who I am presenting myself? He answers that in verse 16. He says, you are slaves to the one whom you obey. You say, no. I've confessed Jesus as my Lord, but man, I just go out there and rip everyone off of my business and take advantage of people and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you do all these things. You say, well, I'm a Christ follower. No, it sounds like you're a slave to greed. Are you sure you're a Christ follower? Because a Christ follower would tell the truth, would have balanced scales, would have justice for his neighbor, wouldn't rip people off, but would be an abundant giver. See, this is where we have this disconnect, because we think if we just slap the good old label of Jesus on our hearts, hey, we're good to go. We can live however. You're a slave to the one whom you obey. The one that you obey is who you're a slave to. So, what do you mean? You can't compartmentalize, or you shouldn't compartmentalize your life to say, well, I got my Jesus day, my work day, my play day, my other day, and I can have all different, you know, attitudes and characteristics going on around me. The reality is, you're a slave to the one whom you obey. Well, what if I present myself to sin? I want to weigh my options, you might say. I want to see what the outcomes are. So you're either obeying sin, resulting in death. Now, if you remember, go back yesterday and you're going to find out. It says very clearly about death and that you are now resurrected from the dead if Jesus dwells inside of you. But either a sin resulting in death. So if you make yourself a slave to sin, it results in death both now and in eternity. Now think through that for a moment. Why would God have a holy, righteous standard that he wants you to walk in? He knows you. He knows me. He knows what we can do, and he knows what we can handle, and he knows what we can't handle. And sin is death. It may be a passing pleasure, a moment of pleasure, but it ends in death. So, you want to obey sin? All right. You're experiencing death. That's the ultimate result. But if I present myself to God through obedience, what does that mean? So you can either present yourself to sin, resulting in death, or obedience, resulting in righteousness. When you obey God, the result is you do the right thing. Isn't that powerful? You say, I want to walk in righteousness. Obey God. I want to live in holiness. Obey God. Look at his word and obey it. You say, I want freedom. I don't want to have to obey anyone. I want to be my own person. All right. Death. I don't like death. I want to have life, but do deathly things. Not going to happen. I want to have joy and peace and tranquility in my heart, but live however I want. Death. I want to go off of every single emotion that flows through my body. Death. I want to fulfill every desire that I've ever had. Death. My thought life. I just want to complete everything on my bucket list. Death. Why? When we pursue the flesh, it ends in death. But in obedience resulting in righteousness, this is what God's called me to. I'm going to obey it. Righteousness. This is how God wants me to interact with those individuals. Righteousness. This is what God says about how I use this mouth of mine to proclaim truth. Righteousness. This is how I encourage others. Righteousness. This is how I repent. Righteousness. Look at that. Do you see the difference? One is death and one is righteousness. So are you or am I still a slave of sin? Look at this. But thanks be to God. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin. Do you know, when it comes to the believer, the whole concept of being a slave to sin should be foreign to us. We're not a slave to sin any longer. That's why, like, these programs that constantly have you confess that your identity is in your addiction, or that your identity is in your fallenness, are non-productive. I am no longer an alcoholic. I am a born-again, paid-in-full, righteous brother in Jesus Christ. He makes me righteous. I'm not a slave to that sin any longer. So when that anger stirs up in my heart, and it still does at times, I got to somehow remind my flesh, you're not my master. You don't have reign over me anymore. You have to become obedient from the heart. Have I become obedient, and where from? You become obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. What's a teaching that we are committed to? The word of God right here. We are committed to walking this word of God out each and every day. How do I know I've become obedient? You become obedient when your heart gets engaged. Your heart begins to say, God, I want to love you. God, I'm going to serve you. God, I'm going to walk after you each and every moment. How do I know if I've been freed from sin? Look at this verse. It says that you have been freed from sin. Verse 18, it says it right there. Having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So people often say, well, don't tell people that they won't sin, because, you know, they're going to. They're going to feel bad about themselves. Okay. I get it. We all have our flesh that we're spiritually in this battle together. But sin should be the rare thing in my life. And holiness, righteousness, and blamelessness, walking before my God out of a love relationship with him, should be the normal expression of my life. Why? Because I may fall or trip through my foolishness or ignorance into sin, but I'm freed from it. It's not my master. It doesn't hold the reins anymore. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, holds the reins of my life. And so what does it say? What does it mean? I'm a slave of righteousness. So when you understand that you've been freed from sin, it says that you have become a slave of righteousness. Do you understand that righteousness holds the reins of your heart? If you're a Christ follower, you're morally obligated to fill your master, who is Jesus Christ, and he is a righteous, righteous God. You're a slave of righteousness. The natural byproduct of the believer's heart is righteousness. So if you're an elected official, you say, well, in this industry, we just do this, this, and this. No. You are in God's industry. If you're a car salesman, well, in this industry, we just do this, this, and this. No, you are in God's kingdom. You work for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's his industry. Well, in the music industry, we just do this and this. In the entertainment industry, we just do this, this, and this. No, there is no justification for our sin. You, as you go into that workplace today, whatever you do, I don't care if you're changing tires on cars and vehicles, or if you're building cars and vehicles for Elon Musk, or whatever you might be doing, you are a slave of righteousness. You are obligated. It is your moral duty to walk in righteousness. You're a slave to it. We don't hear that nowadays. We just say, oh, I'm barely going to make it by. I hope I make it through this. And no. Come on. You're a valiant warrior. You are strong. The Spirit of the living God dwells inside of you, and you have been set free from sin. Your past doesn't determine you. Your parents don't determine you. Your Pope doesn't determine you. I don't even know where that came through. I was just going with peace, I guess. Whatever it might be, doesn't determine you. It's the Word of God that tells you through the Spirit of the living God that's in you, and that you begin to understand that you can walk in the very things of God. So what's our application today? You're walking into that workplace today. What do I want you to know? You're freed from sin. You're freed from sin, and you're free to do righteousness. You are a slave of righteousness today. You get to do all the right things today. You're going to put a smile on God's face today. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You're not weighed down by the worries of this world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that he who the Son has set free is free indeed. God, we just bask in the freedom. We commit ourselves to you that we are slaves of righteousness today, that we obey righteousness today. We do the right thing because it's just the right thing to do. God, we go to your word and we allow you to direct our path and our heart. God, we need revival in Washington State. Help us to come to a place of repentance, God. You are the living God. You go before us in all things. You surround us in all things. You move through us in all things. God, we need you. We need your mercy. We do need your grace for the times that our flesh well up and we stumble and fall. Keep us from willful disobedience, God. Let us bask in your presence and love you more and more. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.